Her stomach was now troubling her, so much so that she could not retain solid food and had endured an abdominal operation. She felt like she was being passed from pillar to post, dentist to doctor, and no one offered any answers. Since my first visit to a doctor, it has been nothing but doctors, 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 she wrote in frustration. To be under the care of a skilled physician and yet not show any sign of improvement was most discouraging. Her illness was affecting her whole life, for though she tried to work, her ailments now made it impossible for her to be engaged in any form of employment. Grace Fryer, however, was still maintaining her job at the bank. Thanks to Dr. McCaffrey's attentions, the infection in her jaw seemed to have cleared up, but she was very apprehensive that it might come back. And although her mouth was all right, her back still plagued her. Dr. Humphreys's strapping treatments no longer had any effect. I have been to every doctor of any note in all New York and New Jersey, she said, but not one of them could determine the cause of her ailments. Often they made things worse. Grace's chiropractic treatments, in the end, became so painful that I was compelled to stop taking them. In Orange, Grace's friend Quinton McDonald was having no better luck. In April 1925, she was finally removed from the constricting plaster cast that had encased her body for 9 months. Yet despite the doctor's best efforts, her condition declined. Now she could walk only with the greatest difficulty. By the end of the year, her family doctor had been called out 90 times, a bill of some $270. It was awful timing, or she found herself unable to manage the 15-minute walk to her sister Albina's house just at the time when she most wanted to be with her. Highland Avenue sloped sharply down towards the railway station on the way to her sister's home, and Quinta simply couldn't get down the hill anymore, even with a stick, let alone back up it. Albina Larice, to the whole family's delight, was pregnant after almost 4 years of trying. It was such good news, and there was little enough of that to go around at the moment. While the Maggio family at least had a reason to celebrate that spring, just down the road on Main Street, the Carlos were really struggling. They were still spending money they didn't have on Marguerite's care. By May 1925, the medical bills ran to $1,312. Sarah Mylifer was distraught by her little sister's condition. She tried to keep talking to her, soothing words or jokes to lift her spirits. But Marguerite's hearing was greatly impaired in both ears because of her infected facial bones, and she struggled to hear what Sarah said. The pain was awful. Her lower jaw was fractured on the right side of her face, and most of her teeth were missing. Her head, essentially, was extremely rotten, with all the putrefaction that implies. But she was alive, still. Her whole head was rotting, but she was still alive. Her condition was so bad that, at last, it prompted Josephine Smith to quit her job. Nobody could see what had happened to Marguerite and not be moved. Frederick Hoffman and Dr. Kniff were still fighting her corner too. Seeing her rapid decline, they now sought aid from a perhaps unlikely source. USRC founder Sabin von Sahotsky.